Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The second season of El Flow is here. Step into the ever-evolving world of reggaeton and get up close with both legendary figures and emerging talents in the industry.
Part of the enormous significance of reggaeton is really the way in which personal narratives connect to larger things going on historically and socially.
Listen to El Flow on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, this is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FF1. Great to have you in today. Jonathan Vilma, Mark Schlereth have both stopped by. Albert Breer will be coming up later. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. I have friends texting me. They're going to go watch Man on Wire tonight. There's also Free Solo.
Yeah, that's crazy. That, I mean, not obviously tightrope walking is insane. But, yeah, free climbing a mountain is not on my list of things I'm looking to accomplish in this life.
There is a lot of righteousness sometimes if you like events. People get caught up on what's real and what's not real. But again, I generationally grew up on Daredevil. So when Evel Knievel was at Caesar's Palace, that was as big as anything. Ollie, Frazier, Madison. I grew up with a lot of events. There were Daredevils. There were these big fights in New York or Vegas.
Well, so I think when it comes to combat sports, there's, I don't want to say, you know, religion isn't the right word, but there's a bit of a spirituality to two men or women getting in a ring and trying to cause harm to each other, and we are witnessing it, rooting for this activity. It's extremely violent, so we want there to be some kind of, you know, something to it that removes that. And when you do things like the Jake Paul thing, it becomes a bit, I don't think so, but it has a hacky feel to it.
Right.
And I think that's where people are like, get righteous about it.
Yeah, I think when if you take sports too seriously, I've always said I'm a sportscaster with a very large audience. So people have decided to choose me as part of their sports diet.
Right.
And my rule has always been love your life like your sports. If I have to give up sports, I would. I'm not giving up my family. So it's like, I think when you get too serious and too rigid about it, it's like It's fun. Is Jake Paul against Le'Veon Bell tomorrow? Would you watch it? Yes. Don't think less of yourself. There's
Well, that I think is what plays into it too. It's that, you know, you are a fan of this sport. You enjoy this sport. Maybe you study this sport. You've been a fan for a long time. You have a certain, you know, criteria for what you determine as, you know, a high level of competition. And then here is essentially someone who's we're only paying attention to because they're famous for something else other than the sport.
Yeah, and also, I mean, do you like the Olympics? Well, we know that we have much more capital, much greater training facilities than many of the countries we face. So it's not really even, but it's we root for the flag. Patriotism. I don't care about curling. I do, strangely, when it's American against blankety blank. So we have all this in our sports all the time. We make exceptions. We root for the flag. We root for entertaining. And I'm just here for it. I cannot talk about regular season baseball games. They're just simply not that compelling to me. But if you give me a high wire act, a daredevil, the Olympics, that's what I've said about the World Cup. It's Mardi Gras with a ball. Even if you don't love soccer, and I do love the United States men's and women's national teams, but I don't sit and watch MLS all the time, though I do like it. My mom was from England. I went to Europe as a kid. I watched the World Cup. I kind of got into it. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. I've always liked soccer more than the average sportscaster. And it's new. It's this generation of kids love it. And so it's like, it's fun. It's fun to be part of. But part of the World Cup is the pageantry of it. It's fascinating. The Ivory Coast, with their resources, can go foot to foot with us or a Canada. And it's like, it's really spectacular. And it's so, there's so much humanity to it. It's beyond just wins and losses in sports.
Well, I think it's a separation of entertainment and competition.
Yes.
So if you look at the Paul fight as entertainment, then you feel fine about it because you pay for all kinds of different entertainment. You watch movies, you watch all kinds of things that aren't necessarily, you know, fair or righteous competition, but are entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's where the purists get into it. Like, is he's not really a great fighter and it's not really boxing and it's not good for the sport. Like, we'll have the conversation about where he ranks in actual boxers when he starts fighting boxers in their prime.
Right.
But he's not doing that right now. I'm comfortable watching this as entertainment.
Yeah.
And then I'm breaking it down within the confines of what it is.
And by the way, UFC was a new sport. We may have a new sport, and it's called celebrity boxing. And Jake Paul's the best at it. That very may well, all the tough guys in Hollywood, all the tough guys in America, we may have a new sport, and it's called celebrity boxing, and Jake Paul is the Ali of it. And if that's the case, then let's just watch it. I'm for new stuff. I was supportive of UFC. Years ago, I worked at the other place. And I went to my bosses at ESPN, and this is 20 years ago. And I said, if I was you, I would consider buying this sport.
And remember what UFC was when it started. Okay, it was not what it is
eye
now.
Gouging. And so it was getting thrown off cable. And the Fertitta family in Las Vegas, they own the Station casinos, Palace Station, all that stuff. They're great casinos. They're, you know, big shots in Vegas. I think they bought the thing for $12 million and then, or so, it was something thereabouts and sold it for $6 billion, you know, a little over a decade later. But I remember going to ESPN bosses, like the number two in command three. I said, all my buddies in Vegas and LA are totally into this. It's a little rough around the edges. And you got to remember in the Northeast, all these baseball fans and very austere. We're going to fencing classes. And I'm like, yeah, these people are beating on themselves in an octagon. Everybody's into it. George Clooney's there. Cindy Crawford's there. My buddies are there. People are betting on it, blah, blah, blah. And so everybody was too cool for it. Well, look what UFC is now. Look at MMA. You've got multiple designations, multiple Bellator, whatever they call it,
Bellator,
UFC.
Yeah.
So it's like we may just have a new sport, celebrity
boxing. Yeah, I
mean,
I think it is because they're going to continue to make money off of it. And if Jake Paul's goal is to make millions and millions and millions of dollars, then he will be able to do that. Now, if that changes and he wants to really be considered and evaluated amongst the ranks of, you know, refined boxers who have been doing this for their entire lives, then that's a different conversation. But I believe there's a crossover there. Like, he's not in that lane right now. And that's fine with me because I'm just entertained. I'm not evaluating him as like, is he going to step into the other side of the sport?
Well, when I grew up, basically, the media was a lot of newspapers, ABC, NBC, CBS News. Nobody had opinions. And then the Murdoch family came over here from Australia and said, well, the media leans left. What if we just do a right-leaning network? And it was a wild hit. After about 3 years, it beat CNN. And then Bill Gates and Microsoft and NBC said, what if we create a network on the other side? It's called MSNBC. And so cable television, now news doesn't get any ratings on cable TV. Opinion does. So that is an entire industry which has made a lot of people rich, is employed. All of us in this building is opinion in news. You still have the New York Times, the Washington Post, ABC, NBC, CBS. Fox is going to go right. MSNBC is going to go left. And they're absolutely have wildly popular tribal followings. And it's like it's just new industry. That was not even an industry in the 70s. You wouldn't have considered a news anchor rooting for a candidate, bashing a candidate. That was not even considered an option. You would lose your job on that.
For that matter, it didn't exist in sports either.
Now we pay cable anchors six times what David Muir on ABC News makes. And he's fantastic, right? I think he's the number one guy. But if you can get numbers on cable or talk radio, you make much more money. That's more in demand from the public. So that's the way I look at all this Jake Paul stuff. I'm always looking for new stuff. I mean, all this tech in Silicon Valley, it's all created for one or two reasons. Number one is to make our life faster and easier. Efficiency, apps, make it faster. I mean, you used to have a Rolodex and a phone, an alarm clock. All of it is on my phone. And so I just look at Jake Paul as like, it's just something new. If you like the UFC, I remember the first time I watched UFC, I was with my friends Brian and Nancy from Portland. We were in San Francisco for the weekend to have fun. I'd never seen it before. We walked into a sports bar, Joey. I'm not sure if it's there still, called the Condor. It was a little rough. We were having a final beer and go to bed, right? And we walked in, and there was like 12, it was a sports bar, not the most glamorous, the Condor, San Francisco. Walked in for a beer. It was by the hotel. They had 12 screens, and UFC was on 9 of them. And it was rough. That was the eye gouging era. And then the Fertittas bought it and Dana White, and they cleaned it up because they wanted, and people complained when they cleaned it up. I like all the eye gouging. It's like, no, Budweiser's not going to advertise if you have eye gouging. Like, you want big boy advertisers. So those people that all complain, they still watch it. They still love it. But you got to get me in.
Right.
You got to get my wife in that she'd sit and watch a fight. And it can't be that brutal. So once again, the idiots are like, no, you're softening the sport. It's like, yeah, that's what you do to build the capitalization of it and to bring the advertisers in and to be able to bring, you know, people beyond the diehards into a sport.
Well, and also to grow the sport amongst young people. Nobody's allowing their child, like, oh, like, you want to train to be a UFC fighter? Like, yeah, they're probably going to get their eye gouged out. Like, the sport dies. You have to bring young people into it.
That's I have a friend in Los Angeles that always says that about football. His son's going to play college football. He's a quarterback. And he says, in Los Angeles, which leans very, very left, he goes, in my neighborhood, I'm considered crazy for letting my son play football. He said, if you go to Texas or the South or the Midwest, it's like you go tailgate. It's your Friday after work. He's like, in Los Angeles, I'm the weirdo. And it's so, I mean, everybody's got different opinions on stuff. Some people are precious. Some are diehard. So I think you and I fall into some stuff in what we cover is simply for entertainment. That's what all-star games are for.
All-star games are entertainment. I feel that all sports is entertainment. That's
well,
why
I do too.
That's why I get very, very protective of fans who get upset or want to leave early or complain. Like, the fans are the reason this all exists. They're the ones paying for this. Like, if I don't want to sit here and watch the rest of this crappy game and skip traffic, I paid for this game. I can't leave. I got to sit here to prove I'm a good fan. Like, what are you talking about? It's not like it's a fan competition or something, the fan police. Like, it's for the fans, all of this, for whatever it is that you like to do. Like, people work really hard.
Yeah.
They have families. They set aside their money to go and watch games or watch fights or watch whatever they want to watch.
Years ago, because the Northeast is more steeped in tradition. Years ago, I complained about this at the other place, and I used to get a bad feedback on this and pushback. And I said, I don't like Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium. I said, so you're asking me as a season ticket holder, let's say I'm an attorney and I walk to the Bronx. I'm an attorney in the Bronx. I walk to the game. Not a single place in the old Yankee Stadium I could have a legitimate dinner and watch the game. You had to go get a hot dog. The food choices sucked. And everybody was like, you don't go to a game for food. No. No. If I'm a lawyer, you're up in the deck, up the upper deck. I'm sitting downstairs. I'm paying $36,000 for those seats. You can have options that are beyond a hot dog. And so even within a stadium, there's the beer drinkers and the partiers upstairs, but you've got to give people multiple options. And I've said this, sports is so much better today, because if you want to go she and bring your beautiful wife and you want, and she wants sushi and a glass of wine, Dodger Stadium gives you that. If you want to want Budweiser and sit in the upper deck, Dodger Stadium gives you that. I just want more options for all my sports.
Yeah, and the stadiums are incredible with that. Every stadium you go to now has local options. They have got like mom and pop shops that have that open spaces inside of the arenas and inside of the stadiums. Like, they have everything you could possibly want for your experience there. They have.
I root for more, better. Just keep giving me more cool stuff at stadiums, more sports. If celebrity boxing is a new thing, I'm in. There's a couple of Hollywood people I'd like to see get knocked upside the head by Jake Paul.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball.
but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heard brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Albert Breer's around the corner today. Just kind of rambling. Listen, it is, I was talking about this earlier. The Seahawks are trying to pull off a Rams, and the Rams do it better. So both of them give up their first-round picks, right, for big moves. The difference is the Rams give up their first-round picks and get Matt Stafford and Jalen Ramsey. The Seahawks, that don't draft as well, got more desperate and went and give up three picks and a player for Jamal Adams, a box safety who's hurt again. And so you look at both the Seahawks and the Rams, and you're like, oh, they've got star quarterbacks. They're very aggressive. But I think just because you're aggressive doesn't mean you're smart aggressive. You know, I'm not moving all my money to Bitcoin. I don't think that's smart. I'm going to keep some in banks and cash and real estate and all that stuff. So Seattle's been hyper aggressive, but I think it's to mask really bad draft picks. You know, they didn't have a pass rush, so they had to go give up stuff to get Carlos Dunlap, who's been good, and they had to give up stuff. That's not the Rams. The Rams are a very good 14 of their 22 starters, many of them excellent, like Aaron Donald. They drafted. They've got a good scouting department. They don't whiff on much. They're just adding really great players to a really shrewd, smart culture. They do great bargain shopping. OBJ's a rental player for a year. Sony Michel, like bargain. Von Miller paid nothing. They gave up a couple of draft picks, middle-round draft picks. So it's like, to me, when I look at the Rams, I am for giving up first-round picks. With Seattle, I'm not. Because Seattle is not supplementing great draft picks. They're having to make big whiffs and trades and swings because they've missed on so many first-round picks. I mean, Rashad Penny's a bust. LJ Collier's close to a bust. Like, that's two of their last three, I think, first-round picks. That's not the case. So you look at these two and you think same division, out west, star quarterbacks, great coaches, big aggressive swings. One, Seattle is doing it to compensate for a lot of whiffs. LA's not. They're just like, we're good. We draft well. But good God, we can get Jalen Ramsey. He's way better than any first-round pick we get. We can get Matt Stafford for a first-round pick. You can't get Matt Stafford in the first round. None of these quarterbacks are going to be Matt Stafford. So they may look outside like it's star quarterback, star coach. But the Seahawks have been for several years a house of cards. The Rams aren't. And that's why one is going to potentially win the division and win the Super Bowl. And one, to me, is actually in a rebuild. They just don't want to admit it yet. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, COVID is it's out here again.
Yes. The new variant called Omicron. They say most people that have it now have this variant. The most people that have COVID have this. Like 70%.
The most prominent variant.
Yes. Very prominent.
Of COVID.
Yes.
And it's milder, but much more contagious.
That's what it appears to be the truth. Yes.
And, you know, sports leagues are trying to figure it out. And yeah. The Chiefs are the latest team dealing with a COVID outbreak. So Tyreek Hill was added to the list on Tuesday.
Oh.
Joining Travis Kelce, who went on the list on Monday. They currently have 13 players on the COVID list, including 7 starters.
Chris Jones is not great.
They are set to face the Steelers on Sunday. So the new protocols require testing among vaccinated people only when they are symptomatic or high-risk close contact, or as a part of a targeted testing among a certain group, such as a position room. So has tested positive in the room, they test everybody, so on and so forth. So vaccinated players and staff who are asymptomatic for at least 24 hours can return as soon as the day after their initial positive test if they test negative twice. So I know I just said a bunch of stuff, but the protocols have dramatically changed from what they were at the beginning of the season. And guess what? They're probably going to change again because that's how this goes. None of us know what's happening. Every day it's a different story.
Yeah.
There's new information. There's new studies. There's new results. Doctors have different recommendations. But it seems that because of this variant not being as intense and punitive as the other variants have been, or original COVID, it seems that it's safer to allow players to play
also
earlier.
One of the great things about America, we've always known this, America is the best place in the world of the 210 countries or whatever to have an idea and get it to the market and get it approved. And that's why people from Canada and Europe often want their companies over here as well. We green light and streamline businesses. Now we got a COVID pill that's going to be pretty close to the market. There is a new vaccine now for Omicron. People, I believe, who discovered it this morning?
Walter Reed.
Walter Reed Hospital in D.C. So the best of the best are in this country. And you can say whatever you want about presidents and protocols, but we got this thing through. We've done, considering it caught us totally off guard, a pretty good job. I'll say this again. Most of these sports leagues have been better run than states. I think the commissioners have overwhelmingly been fantastic.
Without question. And have been much more cooperative and collaborative. Yeah,
the Players Association and the owners.
And the players.
And over 90%, 95% of these players and executives are
vaccinated.
So it's like, I know we're going to pay attention to Cole Beasley, and we're going to spend all the time on that. But in fairness, he's unique. In that locker room, there's not many Cole Beasleys. He had a choice. I'm not going to dog cuss him on there. He had a choice. Now it's hurting him here. He's going to be out for a while, and Buffalo needs him. But nonetheless, there was not a mandate. Cole Beasley had a choice. He's like, I'm not going to get vaxxed. He was able to play. Mm-hmm. But now that he tests a certain way, now he's going to be out. But it should be noted, vaccines never said you couldn't get it. You just get a less severe case. I'm not going to go into that. That's the obvious one that we talk about for 2 years. But Cole Beasley made a choice. I'm not going to sit and beat up Cole Beasley.
No, and he followed the rules he was supposed to follow. You have a choice. There are no mandates. No, nowhere in this country. There's no vaccine jails for the unvaccinated, despite what anyone is trying to pitch you. And I think they've done a tremendous job. And it's, look, everyone's dealing with this right now. So the Chiefs may get some of these guys off before the game. They play the Steelers. Obviously, having seven starters out is not ideal. We showed the list. It's a lot of very important guys, including their kicker, Harrison Butker, who's out. So, you know, they'll have to find their way through it. Luckily, the Chiefs are in a good position as of right now, the way that they've been playing as of late. So Matthew Stafford has always put up big passing numbers in Detroit, despite not having a lot of team success. But you talked about this earlier. He's hit a milestone that is pretty shocking. He reached 50,000 passing yards in the Rams' win over the Seahawks. So he became the fastest quarterback to do that in just 182 total games.
That doesn't seem right to me. It's almost like Detroit borders Windsor, Connecticut. They're using some Dewey Decimal System up there that doesn't work because it doesn't make sense to me that it's better than Favre and Peyton. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, he has in Detroit in his 12 seasons, he had 62.6 completion percentage, 45,109 yards, 282 touchdowns, and 144 interceptions.
For all bad teams. Now,
they had a 74-90-1 regular
now,
season record.
Is this the reason why? Because they mostly trailed and he had to throw late.
Maybe.
I mean,
if you ask our colleague Rob Parker, that's what he would tell you. What did he call him? Stat Padford. for a long time. I mean, there might be some of that.
But
is that he's throwing more because they're behind and, you know, it's some garbage time numbers. But I'm not going to diminish what this accomplishment is.
But when you saw that stat, didn't you go, the hell?
Well, when you evaluate Matthew Stafford's career, and this was my question with him coming to LA, is that we all talk about how incredibly talented he is.
Yes.
Because we have eyeballs and we could see that. And we all know how dysfunctional Detroit is and has been for a very long time. So the question was, what can somebody who we can clearly see as talented do in a functional, talented, well-coached, good culture environment that the LA Rams are? And now we're seeing it. It's not been perfect. It's certainly been a little clunky, but he now has to win. Like, the answer is for his career is that he now has to win because he's always put up these statistics. I think it's an incredible stat, but I do think some of it might have to do with that, because if you look at the team success, it hadn't been there in Detroit.
Yeah, he trailed a lot. He also played right out of the gate. He never sat. He walked into a passing offense.
He's also very talented. So
yes.
If you're talented, you can get the ball to your receivers.
But God, he's played in cold weather road games outside in Detroit and in Green Bay. I just would not have guessed him. I would have guessed.
Who would you have guessed?
Oh God, Peyton Manning threw a lot early. A lot. I'll be honest with you. Aaron Rodgers did not have a great running game. He does now.
But he also didn't play for his first
three
years.
No, you're right. Carson Palmer on those bad Cincinnati teams when he had to throw because they were always trailing. There's just
the key is the fastest to get there. That's the hook. It's very interesting.
It is. It's just history of the league, Matt Stafford. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he did it in Detroit, never had, by the way, did he ever have great offensive linemen? He had a couple great receivers. Pretty impressive.
So the Cardinals started the season very strong, 7-game win streak, but they've struggled recently and have lost their lead in the NFC West race. And Cliff Kingsbury pointed to another team that battled through a slump this season to show his confidence in his team turning things back around.
I think the nature of this league is that at some point you're going to hit adversity. You look at the Chiefs started 3-4 and then won 7 just at a different time in their schedule. And so it's just how you respond and how you handle it. And we have a prideful group. We have a veteran group that, wants to get better after yesterday and understands what we have in front of us and what's still out there for us. So we'll work really hard this week and try to be much improved on Saturday.
It's a cliche, but it's so true. There are no undefeated teams. You're going to have to deal with losses, temper tantrums, fissures in the room, injuries,
COVID.
So it's like, folks, you're all dealing with crap. It's how you handle it.
Well, it's been a very wild year.
Yeah.
And I think we say that every year when it comes to injuries, but it does feel like there's a lot of parity this year.
Yeah.
And that's what's fun to me about it.
Yeah.
Like we had a great college football season for various reasons, but like extremely competitive.
We have a non-power five. We have Michigan finally in.
Like it's fun. And because there is no team that is head and shoulders above everyone else this year, that's just dominating.
Yeah.
It's wide open.
And we have two teams right now, potentially three, that are totally run driven. The Colts, the Eagles, and Tennessee if Derrick Henry comes back. So three of our 14 teams are going against what kind of the league tendencies are. So, I mean, we've had a lot of different stuff, and I agree with you. There is no great. Kansas City is really good, but even Kansas City, I don't feel they're as good offensively as 2 years ago. I don't feel they're – and now we got COVID issues, so they're not as good offensively.
So everyone's dealing with that to start, and then the injuries and what – it's really going to be who's most healthy and who's the most available throughout the postseason, but it's going to be a fun one regardless.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
You know,
news.
Albert Breer's joining us, Monday morning quarterback. I was thinking about this as I'm talking and listening to Joy here. He's joining us live. You know, it's funny. I was looking at the top 10 draft picks, and oh, Lord, it's just I feel sorry for some of these players. It's some of the worst cultures in the league. It's the Jets and the Jags and the Texans. And Philadelphia is not a bad culture, but it is interesting when you get multiple picks. And I watched Jalen Hurts last night, and I'm saying, listen, it's not artistic here, but we have unconventional ways to win in the league. And do you think they take a quarterback with their first pick in Philadelphia? Where do you think they land privately on Jalen Hurts?
I think they're happy with him, but not convinced that he's their long-term answer, which I think gives them flexibility going forward, Colin. And what that means is they have the three first-round picks. If they don't like Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral or one of the guys that's available, they can punt on it. They can sniff around on Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, but they don't have to feel compelled to overpay for any of those guys. So I actually think Jalen Hurts puts them in a really nice position where, like, you know, you'd obviously rather have your, you know, no doubt about it, next 10 years he's our guy quarterback. But, like, based on where they were coming out of the Carson Wentz situation, where they drafted Jalen Hurts, this is actually a really nice spot to be in. You know, it gives them the flexibility where if with those first three picks, they want to rebuild different parts of the roster. Remember, they're aging in some spots. They're aging on the defensive line. They're aging on the offensive line. They can go ahead and do that, build a better infrastructure around Jalen Hurts, and give him even another shot to prove he can be the franchise quarterback next year. If they fall in love with somebody up there, they really love Kenny Pickett. Maybe they go in that direction. Maybe they take a big swing on Deshaun Watson. But the best thing that I think comes out of this for the Eagles is the flexibility that having Jalen Hurts creates for them, because clearly they've shown that they can win with him.
Okay, it's one thing for Seattle not to make the playoffs. It's another to finish in fourth place and well of an under 500. I mean, Russell Wilson was prickly in the offseason, and they won 12. So something's going to happen here. What is your gut feeling on what they do? Pete's got a lot of power. He's got more power than John Snyder. The current owner of the Seahawks is Paul Allen's sister, not a big sports fan. I'm not sure she's as engaged. Paul Allen would make a move tomorrow. I'm not sure right now ownership would. What do you think they look like in a year?
I think they're in rebuild. And I think they've got to be very honest with themselves about where they are. And look, Colin, I was sitting here a year ago and I would have told you they got to do everything they can to keep Russell Wilson on board. It's a win now roster. They've got a 70-year-old head coach who's won a championship for them. Do everything you can to keep Russell Wilson on board. This feels different. This feels like sort of a natural ending to the story of Russell Wilson in Seattle. And maybe the best thing for all parties is for them to move on. I think you look at their roster. How many guys on that roster are young enough where you can say, that guy could be a cornerstone for the next 4 or 5 years?
None.
That guy's good enough and young enough where he could be a cornerstone for the next 5 years. Maybe you could say that about DK Metcalf and Jamal Adams. Is there anyone else?
I like, I mean,
Dwayne Brown's older.
I like the linebacker. I like the linebacker Brooks, but DK Metcalf, I'm not convinced he's a number one. I think he's a number one talent. I don't know if I can get 9 targets and 8 catches a week. I think your question's valid. I think they have to move Bobby Wagner. I really do.
Right. And I just look at it and it just feels like this is the time for them to turn the page and blow it up. Russell Wilson still has 2 years left on his deal. He's only due $50 million over the next 2 years. So that contract should be very tradable. This is when his value on the trade market is going to be at its highest. They don't have a first round pick next year because of the Jamal Adams trade. You just add the whole thing up and are you going to be able to win over the next 2 years with Russell Wilson? Is Russell Wilson going to want to return? Because there's been an assumption internally there that Russell Wilson's done his last contract in Seattle.
Yes.
To begin with. It just feels to me like you add all those things up, the need for a rebuild, where Russell is in his career. And Russell last year, all that stuff was about kicking off the second half of his career and finding a way to make all pro and finding a way to be in a position to compete for championships and finding a way eventually to get in the Hall of Fame. And if he didn't think that 12-win Seattle team was good enough to get him there, I mean, I don't know where you would think that the 5-win Seattle team would have him in position to do that after this year. And so this feels to me like it could be like Detroit, you know, where they have a meeting at the end of the season and everybody decides that the best thing for everybody involved is to move on. And then that would be a benefit to Seattle, too, because they'd be able to get ahead of the quarterback market when there are more suitors out there.
So I was texting Matt Nagy, the Bears, last night. I think he's realistic about what's happening in Chicago. It's very interesting. Joy and I have talked about this multiple times. Mm-hmm. Usually there's 7 to 8 new coaches. Urban and Gruden, there's 2. Nagy feels like a third, and then I like Vic Fangio mostly. I think they're well coached. I just don't think they're dynamic at quarterback. But your guess on what happens to Matt Nagy, and if he's gone, what are they going to look for? The market for the next guy.
So I think there are 2 roads they can take, and I'm assuming Matt's going to be gone. One road is the obvious one. You got a young quarterback. Bring in an offensive guy to develop him. And so, you know, I think you'd look at a couple of different guys. Like, do you hold on to the general manager, Ryan Pace, if he convinces you that he can land Sean Payton? I think that's one name to just sort of keep an eye on. I don't know if Sean wants to leave New Orleans, but if I'm the Bears, I'm at least asking. Josh McDaniels, I think, is another one. He interviewed there previously. I think he'd be really good for Justin Fields. He vetted Justin Fields ahead of the draft last year, obviously, the Patriots. We're looking for one. So that's one path you could take, is looking at like sort of the quarterback gurus. Then there's the other piece of this, which is the owner there, George McCaskey, has been really involved on the minority hiring front. And so like I sort of wonder, is that a place where, you know, you look at like a young rising guy like a Byron Leftwich, or maybe somebody who like has experience in the league, who you see some potential in, and that like a Vance Joseph or a Todd Bowles, guys who've kind of gone and rebuilt their stock and now are worthy of a second chance. And so I think those are the 2 things you really have to kind of keep in mind here, is the work that George McCaskey, the owner, has done in an effort to make the NFL coaching ranks more diverse. And then, of course, what their needs are going to be as far as finding a way to get the most out of Justin Fields in the short term.
So I defended John Harbaugh, because I've said this before, you never lose a locker room going for 2 or going for it in fourth down. And you can lose games. You can't lose locker rooms, and players are alphas and aggressive, and they love going for it. And Huntley's a unique backup that you can do multiple things with. There was a lot of pushback to Harbaugh. What is your takeaway? I know we're a few days removed. What was your takeaway on that? What are you hearing?
I mean, my takeaway is just John's got a good sense for where his team is. And I think he's done a fabulous job coaching that group. I mean, you look at where they're at. They're down both their tackles. They're out down their top 2 running backs. Their number 1, number 2 cornerbacks, their quarterback was down on Sunday. And so I think, you know, it's been miracle work that they've done there over the last couple of months. And I think that like the decision on Sunday was really an acknowledgement of that, Colin. It's like you're looking at it with your team and you're saying, we've got to beat Aaron Rodgers at least once here. There's 42 seconds left on the clock. Can we trust our team can beat him twice, right? Because if you go for two there, then all you got to do is stop Aaron Rodgers. Once the game's over, you win. If you kick the extra point, the game's tied. Now you got to beat Aaron Rodgers to get to overtime, and then you have to beat Aaron Rodgers in overtime. And so to me, as much as anything else, it was sort of an acknowledgement of where his team is. It's I don't know right now if I've got the gas in the tank to keep this fight going with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if I can go into the 11th round and the 12th round with Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to try to knock him out now and see what happens. And you know, from that standpoint, I think as much as anything else, and we can argue about the analytics all we want, I think a lot of these decisions come down to what these coaches have on hand at the time. And I think John Harbaugh is just playing with the sort of hand where when he's got the chance to knock out an opponent like an Aaron Rodgers, he has to take it.
Good stuff, Albert Breer. Have great holidays, my man. Thanks for stopping by on a Wednesday.
All right. Merry Christmas, Colin.
You bet. Merry Christmas to you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Papi.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to play the game Get the Bag. For those of you who are not as hip, that means get the money. So we're going to play Big Bag, Little Bag, No Bag, meaning if I had to pay you today and I'm the general manager, which I've always said, if I didn't do this for a living, I would love to be a general manager of a professional football team.
Yes.
So the game is called Get the Bag, and here we go.
What size bag would you give Kyler Murray?
I would give Kyler Murray the big bag. Little worried about the injuries, but he gets better every year. And in the things that matter to me, completion percentage, super accurate. 69%. He can move. He can go deep. Yards per attempt, 8.4. So I get over the top running. I get accuracy. To me, he checks all the boxes. I don't really care as much about the size. I do care about the injuries. You know, his body language can wear me out, but this talent is, to me, transformational. So he gets the big bag.
Jalen Hurts.
No bag, because he can move around a lot, but I haven't seen the accuracy throwing the football. Right now, his accuracy completion percentage is 58. Now, he's young. This is year two, so let's not go crazy. I'm not expecting him to be a refined product, but it is pretty choppy to watch. He doesn't necessarily see the field as well as a Kyler. He doesn't throw the ball as accurately as Kyler. I do think the offense as a whole is a handful, but right now I need another year to see. I need until next Thanksgiving. I need 10 more starts. Can he give me a 62.5% completion percentage? At this point, I don't see it.
How about Daniel Jones?
No bag. What really worries me about him, I always thought he was a reach. He's not getting better. So what's happened in the last 3 years, his touch as the receiving options have gotten better. They've spent money on Galladay, and then they drafted Tony. Well, his TD passes have decreased. So the O-line's better today than 3 years ago. The receivers are better. But his touchdown passes have decreased as they give him more talent. So that what that tells me is he is totally plateaued. This is what he is, and this isn't good enough to pay big money.
I'll bet this one gets a Santa-sized bag with Justin Herbert.
I may bring two. everything you want. Size, mobility, smarts, accuracy, humility. I mean, listen, he's 12 career games with 3+ touchdown passes in the first 2 years of his career, one of which he had the second worst O-line. Only Dan Marino's equaled that. So, you know, the knock on him is he's a little mechanical. To that, I would say he has the same throwing motion every time. I can live with that. I think there's boxes to check, and I think he checks all of them. The grateful, the physical, the big. He's also a kid. I've seen him take some shots. That's a big old body. Like, he's never been hurt.
All right, here's an interesting one. Tua.
No bag because he's been hurt 4 times. So regardless of what I think about him, he is smaller. I've got a hip injury, an ankle injury, a rib injury, and a thumb injury. Forget being benched last year. Like, you have a right to grow. He's been hurt 4 times. He was hurt in college. And he's only averaging 10 yards of completion in the NFL. What does that mean? It's a little what they call check down Charlie. Like, he doesn't do much over the top. So I don't get over the top mobility. I get over the top accuracy, but I don't get big plays. So there's a way to play him. And with Jalen Waddle, you've got a big play receiver. So I cannot pay him big money.
Joe Burrow.
Somewhere between little bag and big bag, I'd love to have another season. I will say big bag because, again, the injury scares me. You can't have another one of those where you're ripping up the ACL and the MCL. But what I like about him, and he makes mistakes, but he is a throw the ball down the field guy. Like, he's going to let it rip, and he has a very short memory. Some of his best games are after he made a bad pick early. So I got the size, I got the mobility, I got a little edge, I got cockiness without being defiant and over the top. I do. He's somewhere between the medium bag and the big bag, but as a general manager, I've only had one other great quarterback in the last 15, 20 years, Carson Palmer, so I'm going to pay him. I'm not letting him go to market.
So how about Baker Mayfield?
And I'll try to be fair. No bag, because now I'm on the fourth coach, and he's a 500 quarterback. So he's 29 and 28. And he's had different quarterbacks and different systems. Folks, when you have an offensive line in a running game like this, and your completion percentage is 25th, that's not good enough. If it was a low ceiling thing and he was completing 68% of his throws, a Kirk Cousins thing, I'd have to pay him. But I'm not getting the accuracy or the mobility or the attitude I like or the win. So, and he's not checking boxes for me. I do think in Cleveland there's value to having this, you know, sort of polarizing quarterback. I think he sells merch and tickets and the commercials. That part works. But he's 30th in pass attempts this year, and that's telling me the staff, because it's not an O-line issue. It's the best O-line in the league, right? The staff doesn't want him throwing. So if I'm a GM and my coaches don't want him throwing, I'm not giving him the bag.
Mac Jones.
Little bag, very promising start. We also have a history in this franchise where you don't need a wildly dynamic quarterback in terms of out of the pocket. As the game is changing and I see Mahomes and Burrows and Josh Allen's in the AFC, I am a little concerned that I'm going to have a better defense, but I am Bill Belichick. I got Bill Belichick as my coach, and he is the best coach ever. So I don't need some of the things other teams need. So he gets a bag, little bag.
Another interesting one, Trevor Lawrence.
At this point, I know eventually I may have to give him a big bag, so I'm not going to give it to him early as a GM. I'll give him a little bag, and I'll offer him a little bag right now. Number one high schooler, number one college, number one pick. He's a really great talent. I'm not seeing a lot of wow, but it was also the most dysfunctional situation in the league. I've said before, with Zach Wilson, I think I was right. With Trey Lance, I think I was right. He's not ready to play. With Trevor, I still think I'm right.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The second season of El Flow is here. Step into the ever-evolving world of reggaeton and get up close with both legendary figures and emerging talents in the industry.
Part of the enormous significance of reggaeton is really the way in which personal narratives connect to larger things going on historically and socially.
Listen to El Flow on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.